While you're turning to Genesis 39, I can go back to some folks I know who have been saved at a very young age, and they've served the Lord, and they are a huge blessing to others, and I sure appreciate the goodness of God. Amen. Amen. Did anybody have a testimony? I know we had a couple folks testify. Anybody want to or have a testimony tonight before we look in Genesis 39? Amen. 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 Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. Sure is good to have the camps with us tonight. Amen. 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 This is kind of their home, or one of their homes away from home. I got to be careful because who knows, all the other pastors will hear this on live streams. Like, well, we got dibs. I'm just telling you, we got dibs on the camps. It's right. Amen. It's right. Amen. And if they lived here, they'd have to join our church. And if they didn't want to join our church, I'd tell all kinds of stories on them where they'd have to join our church. So, amen. I do that. Amen. Amen. It's all right. Amen. 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 All right. Anybody else tonight? Word of testimony. All righty. Well, we're going to look in Genesis 39 tonight. I'm going to read just a couple of verses out of the first few verses here. We're not going to read the entire chapter, but want to just kind of revisit this place here tonight. All right? Let's look in Genesis 39, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. He made him overseer over his house, and all that he had put into his hand. And all that he had, he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored." Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for the night. Lord, we ask you, Lord, this evening as we come before you to forgive us, Lord, where we have failed you in this days and in these days, and Lord, just some of the songs, and Lord, we think about your mercy. We hear some of the testimony and think about your just the little things that you do, Lord, to remind us that you're there. We just ask that you'd cleanse us by the blood of Christ tonight, that you would help our minds to be open unto the Word of God, that you would help us. Pray that as we study, you'd make it profitable unto us. And Lord, I pray that you'd make it in such a way that even the youngest child in here could understand what's being said tonight. And Lord, for all you do, we'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, y'all just forgive me there. I've told you before, it's kind of hard to get my throat clear at times. Just some of the medicine that I take, it makes it very hard to do that. So you just you bear with me. But last week, here's what we did. We're going to revisit a little bit. I call this Highlights in Genesis, and then I told somebody that I'd been in Genesis on Wednesday night for a year and a half or something like that, and they just kind of laughed. That's not a lot of highlights. Well, you know, sometimes we've cruised at 35,000 feet, and sometimes we've dropped to a couple of thousand where we can look a little closer. There's been a time or two we've actually kind of parachuted out and walked around a little bit because that land was good. You know what I'm saying? We had to stay there for a little while. And, of course, 1 Peter, we spent a lot of time in 1 Peter a year ago after all the COVID stuff hit, and we were live streaming at the time. So I want to just do a little bit of a recap of where we were at last week and revisit some things here tonight to be a help to us. So we saw last week where Joseph was betrayed by his brethren. He was betrayed by his brethren. And so we put ourselves in his place. You've got 11 siblings, or, you know, at Joseph's time there, more than, you know, it would have been 11 siblings at the time. And Joseph is cast into a pit, coat taken off of them, then sold into slavery. You know that had to hurt. And not just physically, but just the emotional roller coaster of folks who were supposed to be your blood relatives. Even if they were, quote, half blood is still more than no blood. And so in Joseph's mind, no doubt that would have broken his heart. We see his bondage in Potiphar's house and in the prison house. He's taken down there. And we said last time that when we look at everything that transpired in Joseph's life, he is a living example of Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Everything that happened to Joseph was not good. But I want to say this, and I'm going to be very careful in what I'm saying here. I don't want you to read too much in what I'm about to say. But if God took Joseph from the pit to Potiphar's to the prison to the palace, God knew what was going to take place from point A to point B. Watch this. God knew the emotional stress Joseph would have gone through. But that did not stop God from performing His plan in Joseph's life. And I want to be very careful in what I'm saying right here. God's grace in Joseph's life was sufficient. Amen. And the reason I say I've got to be very careful is because years ago, and I got to be very careful how I say this, there was a preacher who took his life. If I called his name, many of you in here would know who he is. And I'm not here to debate. If you want to come to me and tell me he's dead and in hell, do me a favor. Don't write me. Don't talk to me. Don't message me. Don't meet me outside after service. Please don't. I don't have time to shoot cannonballs at grasshoppers. I just do not have time. I don't have time for it. Amen. But I was talking with a preacher one time, and he did say this. He said, "Well, Brother John, I believe God's grace should have been ought to have been sufficient in his life." Well, brother, you never walked a mile in the man's moccasins, so I probably would just keep my mouth off of the man of God and not even touch him. So I just thought I'd say that and just praise the Lord anyhow. Amen. Amen. So whoever that hair lip, you probably needed it. Amen. All right. Amen. That's me being ugly and mean tonight. I'm wearing a dark suit. I'm good for it. I'm in a good mood tonight. I really am, for the most part. I really am. Amen. So, amen, but I really am. So we're looking at the bondage, but we're looking at the blessing. We saw he was betrayed. We saw he was put into bondage, but we see the blessing. And everything that Joseph did, God blessed him. We read it in the text tonight that Joseph was a prosperous man in verse number 2. But the reason Joseph was a prosperous man in verse number 2 was because the very first phrase of verse number 2, and it says, "And the Lord was with Joseph." The reason God prospered Joseph is because he was with him. God prospers people. Some of them he prospers physically, like the Jew. There are some Christians who have the ability to make money. They just do. God's blessed them that way. I say praise the Lord for it. I ain't one of them. I'm not one of them. Amen. But some of them he blesses spiritually. And whenever John is writing, he writes to one man and says, "I wish that thou wouldest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Soul prosperity is more important than financial and physical prosperity ever is. For there are many a man who sits down to a porterhouse and a lobster who doesn't know God. And as much as I like to eat a steak, as much as I like seafood, I would much rather sit down to a bowl of beans and cornbread with the blessing of God than to eat high on the hog, as it were, without God's touch and blessing. So let me just say that Joseph was blessed because of God's grace. Let me give you a couple of verses tonight. I'm going to read you two verses. Actually, from two places, I'm going to read you 1, 2, 3, 4 verses tonight. If you're taking notes, I'm going to read to you from Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. I'm going to read those two verses, and then I'm going to read a couple of verses in the New Testament. I'll give you those in a minute. But as we go through and study Joseph's life, I want you to keep these verses in mind. Isaiah 53, 7 says this, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Verse 8 says, he was taken from prison and from judgment. Now the word judgment there in Isaiah carries with it the idea of justice, if you will. Justice was not given to him. Of course, this is speaking of Christ. We know that. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And so, those verses from Isaiah 53, I want you to hold them in the back of your mind. That here he is as a lamb brought to the slaughter, Christ is, and he opened not his mouth. 1 Peter 2, 22 and 23 say this, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. Amen. When he suffered, he threatened not, but commended himself to him that judgeth righteously. So, in these verses tonight, we've seen the character of Christ when he is under persecution. And those verses are the same verses that we need to be aware of, keep in mind, when we're under persecution. Now, we're not talking about defending family. We're not talking about defending life and home. We're not talking about that. We're talking about being persecuted for our stand as believers. So I want you to keep that in mind, because we're going to look at some things that happened in Potiphar's house, and that's pretty much where we're going to spend our time tonight, and that's it. Because I want to spend some time with Joseph. Remember, a couple things we said about Joseph. He's 17 years old. And I'm looking at a group of people here tonight who are in their teens. Some are on that side of 17, some are on this side of 17. But a lot of y'all in here are close to 17 years old. And because of that, I want to ask you a question as a teenage person, as a teenager. If we were to look at Joseph's life and ask you to write down every good characteristic in his life, and then ask you to write down the characteristics in your life that resemble the ones that we see exhibited in Joseph, could you even start your list? And while we're at it here, could any of us adults start the list? So what I want to look at tonight is this. The time that Joseph is in Potiphar's house is a special time. And I want you to keep Romans 8:28 in mind, because what I want to see tonight is this. In Potiphar's house, number one, Joseph was in training. Here is the blessing of having chapter 50 of Genesis. Because as soon as we read 37, we automatically go to 50. But you know as well as I do, it was a long, hard road from 37 till the time that Jacob went down into Egypt. Long time. Then you get over to his blessing the boys there in 49, and then whenever they bury him in Egypt in 50. That's a long time. We have the advantage of that. And I'm really afraid that there are people who have the idea that as soon as someone gets saved, they need to have every mark of a mature child of God. But that just isn't the case. You have children who are saved at a young age who will not exhibit spiritual maturity. Once in a while, you may have somebody who does. But that does not always seem to be the norm. But there are people who think that if a person's saved at 12, 13, 14 years old, they must have the spiritual maturity of someone who's been saved for 40 years. It just simply is not the case. But what I want to look at tonight is Joseph's life, because Joseph was in training. The trials that Joseph went through, and I want you to listen to me tonight, the trials that Joseph went through are the proving ground. The trials that Joseph was going through were his proving ground. You see, Joseph in a few years is going to be, if you will go ahead and say it, I could make an argument that he's older than Pharaoh. But we're going to say that Joseph, for all practical purposes, if he's not the second, he is probably the most powerful man on planet Earth in a few chapters. Now, if Joseph is going to save the world, you don't just do that overnight. You don't wake up, have a bunch of superpowers, fly through the air bulletproof, leap over tall buildings in a single bound and go save the world. It just doesn't happen that way. So what we're going to see is that how God worked in Joseph's life. I'm going to tell you, I don't like the proving ground. I don't like the potter's wheel. I don't like it. It's painful. It's personal. It's proving. Oftentimes it's very private when God works some things in. But thank God the proving can be permanent if we'll simply just obey God and follow His command. So let me look here at Joseph's proving ground just a second. Let's look here for a second. Look with me in chapter 39. The Bible tells us here that Potiphar buys Joseph from the Ishmaelites. Now, the Bible says in verse number 2, and the Lord was with Joseph. So let's look at that just for a minute. Potiphar saw that Joseph was blessed by God. Potiphar saw that. Now, I read a lot of commentaries, and when I study, generally, well, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I've read commentaries for years, and sometimes they're not worth, you know, snapping your finger. And some of them are good. But I went ahead and read one by, you know, John Calvin, and John Calvin said this, that basically Potiphar had no grace in his life because he refused to see the hand of God in Joseph's life and didn't give him the glory. Well, this ain't about Potiphar, Mr. C. It's about Joseph, you know. Let's be very careful. Be very careful about that. John Calvin was always good at jumping to conclusions. Amen. I didn't get an amen on that. Praise the Lord anyhow. That's exactly right. Amen. All right, so Potiphar saw that Joseph was blessed by God. So let's look at verse number 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he, watch this, was a prosperous man. Now, wait a minute. TV timeout. Timeout. Give me one word to describe Joseph's role in life right now. One word. He's a slave. Being a slave and being prosperous don't go together. They don't go together. How can a slave who does not own his time, he does not own the clothes on his back, he does not own the bed he sleeps in, he doesn't own the food that he eats, nor the plate that he eats the food off of. Hey, the slave doesn't even own himself. How can he be prosperous? Well, let's look and see how that is. Look at verse number 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. God makes all the difference. The presence of God makes all the difference. So Joseph, the reason he was prosperous is because the God of heaven was with him. Now, yes, you can say, well, preacher, God had a plan for Joseph. Well, sure he did. But if you are a child of God, does God not have a plan for your life? Amen. Now, we don't go out into the public and tell everybody that God loves them and has a wonderful plan for their life, because it just ain't so. God's angry with the wicked every day. God's going to cast people into hell. God's not happy with the sodomite who goes on in this sin. He's not happy. He's not happy with those who murder babies and, you know, flash their face in God's sight. Not happy with those folks at all. So don't be telling people that God loves them and has a wonderful plan for their life, because that just is not the case. But if you are a child of God, I can say beyond a shadow of a doubt, God does love you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Now, in this case, what we see is God's with Joseph. Now, notice this. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. But here's what I want to look at, verse number 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. Potiphar saw that Joseph was a blessed man by God. But here's my question. What exactly did Potiphar see in Joseph's life that stood out? It very well could have been his industry, his work ethic. I mean, he's a slave, but he's working. And it could be that he worked hard. He worked diligently. He didn't give any lip. He just did what he was told to do. And that more so than that, it could be that Potiphar saw that everything he put his hands to turned out better than anybody else who'd done that job in the past. I don't know if he had him mucking out his stables or cleaning his chariot. I have no idea if Potiphar, let's say he was a man who raced a chariot. I have no idea if he did or not. I don't know that the Egyptians would have had a Second Amendment chariot law that would have forbade other people from having chariots, but, you know, I don't know. I have no idea. But it could be that maybe Joseph went out and washed his chariot, and in a chariot race, he went faster. I don't know. No idea. But what I do know is this. Potiphar was able to see a difference from the time Joseph started to the time Joseph finished. So it could be his industry. One commentator said this, maybe not just that. He said it could be that he learned the Egyptian language very quickly. It very well could have been. I'm taking Hebrew right now. Thank God for the King James Bible is all I can say. Our language reads left to right, theirs reads right to left. They can take one word and say 4711 things out of that one word. And you got to fit, man, you got to get it right. Lord, help us. Amen. So God bless folks who can read Hebrew and understand it. Bless their heart. God bless them. Hallelujah. But Joseph may have learned the Egyptian language just like that. He very well may have. And it could have been also not just his learned the language, but he saw that Joseph had good judgment in everything that was going on in part of the house. He had wisdom. He had faithfulness to complete the tasks that he was given. It very well could be that that's what Potiphar saw. But it also could have been this. We talked about this last week. It could have been his attitude. It very well could have been his attitude. More than likely, the Bible does not tell us, give us details. Some of this is maybe a little bit of supposition or meditation. You know, anything an employer would look for to see how an employee, if you will, was doing, apply some of those things, those same principles. But as we look here, what we do know is that Joseph's attitude was tremendous. More than likely, it's probably a combination of all of these. To some degree, it very well could be. But Joseph's attitude was tremendous. And here's the thing that hit me today as I was studying. Though Joseph was a slave, in one sense he was free. You may have put his body in bondage, Potiphar, but his attitude is not in your hands. And I'm thinking back over my life and places I've been where an employer or somebody in the church was doing this right here. Anybody ever done like that before?
Well, my God, ain't nobody going to do that to me.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, you may not even get used for what God's going to use you for either. Amen. I'm not saying that's the path you have to take, but sometimes that is the path that the Lord may have you take. What was my response? Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I'm not even bothering to pick up my pencil and start my characteristics of Joseph with you teenagers if it makes you feel any better. The Lord was with Joseph. Though he was a slave, to some degree he was free. So with his attitude and his work, he prospered. God blessed him. But here's the thing I want us to remember here. We talk about his attitude. Let's go back to verse number 1 where it says that Joseph was bought by Potiphar. He's a slave. Let's go back to those two verses. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet what? He opened not his mouth. When he was reviled not again. Joseph, we said this last week, is a type, a picture of Jesus Christ. And when you look at his life, what you see is somebody who does the job he's supposed to do, but he does not talk back. He doesn't talk bad. He doesn't cop an attitude. He simply is, the record simply tells us, he did what he was supposed to do. God was with him, and God blessed him. Joseph's in training ground. That's where he's at right now. He's being trained. I'm telling you, Joseph illustrates the Lord Jesus so wonderfully in his life. And as we look at him even in this passage, we see that again. Well, I'd love to stay here, but we got to move on to the next little paragraph. Verse number 6 at the end says this, "And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. He was not an ugly duckling. Probably was a handsome fellow." Verse number 7, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me." So Joseph was not only in training in Potiphar's house. Listen to me. Joseph was tempted in Potiphar's house. He was tempted in Potiphar's house. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because we've all heard the story. We know what's going on. But here's the thing. Joseph was given work to do. And while he's engaged in the task that the master had given him, temptation comes in from the side. And you can mark it down. The devil's going to tempt everybody who's doing some good. "Well, preacher, the devil doesn't bother me. Let me let you in on a little secret. You ain't doing nothing. You're doing zero. The devil never bothers you. You're not doing anything." Amen. But here's the thing. The Bible tells us that this temptation was not just one time, but if you look at verse number 10, it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day. This was an ongoing thing. He responds the same way. And we can talk about Joseph shouldn't have been there by himself. We can talk about all that. But here's the thing I want us to see is that everything in all of this, Joseph was tempted. Joseph did not give in to that temptation. Just as Joseph, who is the type of Christ, Jesus was tempted, listen, by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And they both, if you'll let me use it this phrase, were victorious in the sense that they didn't give in to the temptation. Part of Joseph's proving ground. There it is. So Joseph's in training. He's tempted. And then after all of this sad incident where this old woman lies on Joseph, in verse number 18, and we see in verse number 19, "It came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant, that his wrath was kindled." And so Joseph, though he's in training in the house, he's tempted in the house, and now guess what? He's tossed into prison. He's tossed into prison. But I want you to see the hand of God in all this. Joseph goes into the prison. Verse 20, "And Joseph's master took him, put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison." Wow. "But the Lord," verse 21, "was with Joseph," watch this, "and showed him mercy, gave him favor in the eyes of the keeper of the prison." God not only blessed Joseph in the house of Potiphar, he now blesses him in the prison house. God does that. And I'm wondering, and I don't know for a fact, and I don't know how big Potiphar's house was. He was definitely a rich man because he's, you know, captain of the guard, no doubt. Because he puts them into the same place where Pharaoh puts his prisoners. He's probably got a little bit of an inroad. He's probably got a pretty good sized house. Probably. And I'm wondering if maybe the Lord now moves him from Potiphar's house, where he's dealing in simply, he's a financial manager, he's an overseer, he's a steward. He's doing the day-to-day operations of the house. He's running it like a business, if you will. Because that's what the overseers do. He's got a house, he's in the field, so he's making sure that everything runs well economically. He's doing it domestically, but now Joseph moves from the domestic world to the semi-political world in the prison. That's interesting. That's very interesting. You see, if God's preparing him for Egypt, perhaps the prison, if you will, as far as the level of work goes, is a step upward, a different type of work. Here's the thing that's interesting. We always talk about God's divine inspiration in the sense that God, look, God can do anything He wants to. Brother, all God's got to do is just boop, touch it, the transfer case is fixed, and it's fine. It's done. All God has to do is go bink, touch it, and there's no trouble with computer. There's no trouble with Facebook Live. There's no trouble with any of that stuff. No trouble with YouTube. No trouble with Twitter or partner. There's no trouble. All God's got to do is do that. Amen. That's all He's got to do. All God has to do to a sinner is go boop, touch his heart, and that's it. Automatically he's converted. We don't have to do anything. But here's the thing I want us to understand. Oh, by the way, God could just reach out and go beep, touch you, and you're automatically spiritually mature. But God doesn't do that. God doesn't operate that way. And while we talk about God's ability to do anything and everything, and He does have that, here's the thing. God allows men to grow and to develop in this lifetime. He allows men to use the gifts perhaps that He hardwired them with and develop them as they go along. God's given certain people ability. There are different spiritual gifts in the church. You look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, Romans chapter number 12, you'll find out that there are diversities of gifts, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, but the same Spirit. Amen. Amen. And by the way, just let me throw this out at you because it's good Bible. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." And a lot of our good Baptist brighter friends will say, "Well, that's not the Holy Spirit of God doing that. That's mankind doing that because all the gifts that are done in 1 Corinthians 12 are by the gifts of the Spirit." And I say, yeah, every one of those in 1 Corinthians 12 are the gift of the Spirit. But baptizing somebody isn't a spiritual gift. It's a spiritual command. It's not a spiritual gift. That's good preaching, preacher. I know it is. Right out of the old King James. Amen. Hallelujah. That's good stuff. But here's the thing. God doesn't grant abilities and maturity, boom, in one fell swoop. If that was the case, I wouldn't even take Hebrew. I'd just open up a Hebrew Bible and be able to read it and go, glory. I'm sure I'm glad I'm able to skip that step. Amen. But what God does is He allows people to be put into life situations. He allows them to grow. He allows them to develop. David, you're probably a pretty good welder right now, but you're nowhere near the welder you're going to be 10 years from now if God still lets you weld. You're going to learn, you're going to grow, you're going to develop. Brother Eric, if you just rewind 20 years, you probably couldn't do half the stuff you're doing now. There's no way. Absolutely no way. Amen. Amen. And if we look at our lives and where we're at, what we know, God allows us to grow. He allows us to mature. He allows us to develop. And I sound like to say this. He's doing the same thing in Joseph's life. He goes from a household to a semi-political place where he can, you know, he might can see some of the red tape. I mean, he probably can. I mean, there's red tape everywhere. Don't tell me they didn't have it in Egypt. No doubt they probably did. Amen. God's preparing him for a special task. And what He's doing, He's preparing Joseph to run a nation and save a world. But it took God taking him from Potiphar's house to the prison. And we know that Joseph was in the prison every bit of over 2 years. May have been 2 years and several months. But I want you to see Joseph's attitude. I want you to look with me. You're in chapter 39. I want you to look at verse number chapter 40. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord the king of Egypt. Okay, I don't know if they burnt the toast or I have no idea. No idea. Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers, against the chief of the bakers, and he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place, watch this, where Joseph was bound. Now, this is not serendipitous, just happenstance. This is divine providence in action. Now, I want you to look at verse number 4 here. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. Look at this. And he what? What does your Bible say? And he served them. I'm telling you what, brother. I'm going to take my hat off, Joseph. It's one thing to serve somebody. It's one thing as a pastor to serve the church. That's a blessing. That's glorious. I say praise the Lord for that. But to be put into Hancock County Jail, let's just say, or jail over here in Indianapolis, and then somebody come in there, an official who's all high and mighty. Now, granted, over here they don't have the power of death like we know that Pharaoh has. But then to have the person who's overseeing the prison serve them. Joseph's nature was a servant. Joseph's nature was to serve. The greatest servant the Bible has ever mentioned is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will not see a better picture of a servant outside of Jesus than you'll see here in the life of Joseph. To humble himself and to serve the people who are, really listen to me, his equals. And in some sense, he's over them. He's not a lifer as far as he knows, but he's been there a little bit longer. He probably knows the places where the shanks are kept and all that other stuff and how to smuggle in dominoes and all that. I mean, I don't know if he does that or not. Y'all can wake up a little bit. I know it's getting, it's slick outside. David sang 162 tonight, I care not today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. I said, shadow or sunshine or snow. I sang that right over here because it's slick outside. Joseph's attitude was one of service. There are too many people who want to be served, not serve. Too many people want to be the chief and not the little Indian. Did you hear that? Amen. Amen. Went on the politically correct stuff. Too many people want to be the big wig. They don't want to be the small guy doing the grunt work. Most people don't. But here's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing how God trained a man to save a nation, and really save the world. And watch this. Joseph has no idea. He has no idea that 430 years after he's dead, later on down the road, God is going to call Moses and the children of Israel to walk out. Amen. And he has no idea that nearly 2,000 years down the road that God is going to speak to Joseph and tell him that the people who sought the young child's life were dead. And out of Egypt, Matthew tells us, I've called my son, and Jesus comes out of Egypt in fulfillment of prophecy. Joseph has no idea about that. Folks, we don't have any idea what God's doing in our lives that's going to affect somebody 100 years from now if this thing continues to go. We have no idea. You have no idea. I want to encourage you tonight, it may not be the most pleasant thing to do. Man alive, I'm just sitting there thinking to myself so many times, I just wanted to punch people in the mouth. Punch him in the throat. I wouldn't say that, preacher. Well, that's okay. I'll just go ahead and say what you're afraid to say. Punch people. You work with folks and they talk down to you, treat you like trash, treat you like a dog, and you hear all that. But here I am seeing Joseph. I'm seeing his attitude. I'm seeing God bless him. I'm seeing even though he's a slave, he is a free man. And that's not unsimilar what Paul said. You know, if you would be, he said, would you be, you know, if you're free, use your freedom. But if you're a slave, then, you know, just go ahead and serve. Do what you can do. My goodness. God's got you in a training program somewhere. You may not be a journeyman just yet. You may not be. Most of us are probably still in the apprentice category. But God blessed Joseph. God blessed Joseph. And when God blessed him, the same people he served in the prison and in Potiphar's house, he ruled over when he was in Egypt. And seeing God's grace in Joseph's life, that helps me out. Thank God for grace. Amen. Amen. All right. Lord, thank you for letting us be here tonight. I pray that you take what's been said and use it, Lord, for your glory. I pray, Lord, that your truth, Lord, would go out tonight and that folks would hear, Lord, what you've said, and folks would be helped, they would be blessed, they would take these truths to heart. We think about the Son of God not opening his mouth, not returning revilement when he was reviled, to see his attitude, Joseph's life, and he's just a man like we are. Lord, help us to remember that in the days ahead when things may not go like we want them to go. Thank you for your goodness and thank you for your grace. Help us, Lord, as we want a prayer time tonight. A lot of things to pray for, lots of folks who need your help. And so, Lord, we'll just ask that you'd be glorified in all things. We ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.